Heavenly Father, thank you very, very much for this week and bringing us here on a fine, holy Sabbath day. Please bless each and every one here. We've come into your house of worship, and may you be present with us. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Good morning, church family. I love you very much. Prayed for you all this week. Hope that you've had a fairly successful week. We come together today in anticipation of God's blessing. And that's what we're looking for, is that blessing. You got Bibles? Everybody got Bibles, because they're going to be using the Bible. Yep. I'll get myself. We're going to start the first. Before I do my monologue, we'll get set for John 15, 8 through 14. I'll get set with the Bible there. And we'll turn there. It takes me a while to go through pages. I don't know why. Something about these pages, okay, and we're going to do 8 through 14, but not yet. We're going to start out. Shaking. We've heard about it. We've pondered it. We heard Miss Ellen talk about it. Does anyone know what it means? Well, it has something to do primarily with each and every one of you, myself, personal relationship with Jesus, and it's basically based on discipline. That's what it's based on. And anyone, and from my study, does not participate in this shaking will be shaken out. Simple. It's over with. It's done. But let's try something a little different. When I put the study together, we're going to look at tools that will help us and ground us and prepare us for this shaking. Now, when I started this, I couldn't understand why it was coming together the way it was until, I'm going to say, after I put together about 3 or 4 months. And then finally, it began to dawn on me. How many here like microwave? How do you ladies like microwave ovens? Remember when they first came out? They were like, wow, fantastic. You can put the taters on there and all the peas and carrots and all the stuff and throw it in there, press the button, wing-a-dang-doo. You got your meal, hot, ready, and ready to go. No mess, no hardly any work to it. That's a tool. That's a great tool. How many of you guys that go out cut wood and you got an underpowered chainsaw? Is that frustrating? Wouldn't you think? Wanting to cut a tree down and a thing is sticking and hanging and ain't working right? So you say, man, I got to do something about this. So you go down and get yourself an old 50 steel or something. You know, it's my brother, I know, because he used to own one of those. And start that baby up, 8-10 horsepower, meow, like melted butter. Done. The job's in. Tools. The Bible gives us tools to work with. And this is where I want to go before I finish. It's going to be, we'll be a little after 12 o'clock for sure. But I'm sure you're going to be blessed. Very, very blessed. Okay. The first part of our heading here, we need to love and comfort one another. Okay? How can we go through this church family and not have a need and a desire to love and comfort one another? So this is elementary. So let's just kind of just check into some Bible scriptures and give us a remind us, set us up about love. Because without love, Jesus commissioned us to do what? Love our brother, love our enemies, love those who spitefully use us. Okay. So, we'll start with John, Gospel John, 15, and we're going to do 8 through 14. We're not going to do all these. I got quite a few. 15, 8 through 14. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have love for you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. How can that be done away with? How can the Father's commandments be done away with when Jesus clearly states here, I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love? You can't separate the two, okay? These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. Okay? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So, okay. Is that not direct enough, pointed enough about love? Came from Jesus' mouth. It is his word to us to study. Greater love hath no man that lays down his life for another. This is a foundation. This is a tool that we need to have to go through what's coming in the future. All right, let's check another one here. I mean, I got several. Who knows Corinthians 13? We're not going to read it, but who knows Corinthians 13? I really, really... Don? It is. It's the love chapter, and we all need to really read it every day. It's part of our total and complete salvation. See? Okay, let's see, I'll pick one out here. Let's go to 1 John 2. Let's turn to 1 John 2 here. I'll get up here to 1 John. 1 John 2, okay. And we're going to do 5 through 11. 1 John 2, and we're going to do 5 through 11. So everybody turn their Bibles there. 1 John chapter 2, 5 through 11. But whosoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfect in him. Okay? By this we know that we are in him. He who says, he abides in him, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Now, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have from the beginning. An old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. And a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Very clear, isn't it? And I've got, I could go 15 and 17 too. Let's go to 15 and 17 on that same 5:11. Let's go 15. Go. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Excuse me? Did you hear that? Pretty direct, isn't it? So what constitutes the world in your own heart, in your own mind? Possessions. Yes.
If you put things
Absolutely. You're on the right path there, that right thinking. And not only that, but our love for our fellow man. Okay. Okay, we go a little bit further. For all this is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Okay. We need not go anymore. I have through four more verses, but time restraint here. But we've got the flavor of the tools we need. It's talking about the commandments of God written in our hearts. It's talking about love our fellow man. Don't love this world. Especially in this day and age we're living in. Because if you love this world in this day and age, the shaking's going to come. You see what's taking place. You see the fires, the floods, the calamities are so violent. So don't love the world. Practice this. Pray about this. Put it in our hearts and our lives that we will be weaned towards Jesus, his character, and reflecting that character in ourselves. Okay. All right, so that's tool number one, love. Well, the next part I wrote down, it was like, be not afraid. Jesus will be with those who do his requirements. Okay, we talked a little bit about some requirements, but what about his requirements? What about these questions that we have? What does Jesus require us to do? Does anybody have a good answer for that? Keep his commandments. Love one another, yes. Keep him first. That's right. Okay, well, let's look at Psalms 19, 8 through 11. Let's turn to Psalms. Psalms 19. All right. And then we'll go through 8 through 11. The statute of the Lord are right. The statute of the Lord is right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. Altogether, more to be desired are they than fine gold. Yeah, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Wow. So the requirements is laid out before you in Psalms. Let's go to Jeremiah 31. Okay. I'm going to find Jeremiah real quick here. Everybody turn there, please. Jeremiah 31. And we'll do 33 and 34. Because this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be their God and they will be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. For the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forever forgive their iniquity and their sins. I will remember no more. That's a good promise. If you really truly know the Lord, he's going to forgive you. You stick with him, he's the sustainer of what? life. Everlasting life. You can't be moved if you're so grounded in Him and you place Him first. But you know how it goes. All right. Daniel 6, 18, 23. I'm going to tell you the stories. They're in there. The three Hebrew brothers. They were standing before the great image. You remember that? What took place? Didn't a decree go out to do forced worship? You're going to bow down to this image, and what's going to happen? They were going to die if you don't bow down. Did they compromise? Absolutely not compromised. Because they stuck close to the Lord, they stuck close to His teachings and His principles, He let the Lord write them in His heart. What took place? He got thrown in a fiery furnace, but they didn't get burnt, did they? Because Jesus took care of them. He was in there with them in the fire. And He said, eternal life is sure. You boys are representing me. Wait, I want you to. Okay. Just great information. How about Daniel? Who knows the story of Daniel in the lion's den? You kids ought to know that one really well. What did Daniel do to get himself in the lion's den? It's elementary. He prayed three times a day against the law. The law was there in front of him. He knelt down and said, he knew the law was passed. Threw the gates open and he prayed to Jerusalem. And he poured his heart out to the Lord in prayer. Did he care about that law? Because it wasn't for the Lord, it was against God. It was stopping him to have a relationship with the Lord. Are we going to listen to what's coming in the future, maybe, or today? That someone may ridicule you. Somebody may stand in your way of the relationship of Jesus. Maybe your peers in the schools or work. Daniel didn't let that happen to him. And he got thrown in the lion's den. And the result was what? King was so upset about it, he ran the next morning down there fast as he could. He says, Daniel, you in there? Did your Lord protect you? Oh, yeah, I'm down here. No problem. Had a good night's sleep, old king. Grabbed him out of there, loved him and hugged him. And, of course, the accusers were there. And what happened to the accusers? The ones that really didn't want to do the praying, the ones that wanted to do their own worship, so on and so forth.
They got thrown in.
Did the Lord protect them?
No.
Interesting thoughts. We could talk about the apostles thrown in prison, and they sang and they were delivered. The angels came in. This is what we're against today. We have to preach or we have to teach the present truth today. And we have to let Jesus work that out in our lives. We have to search our minds. We can't hold it under this bushel any longer. It's leading to something, isn't it? Shaking? We'll see. So be not afraid. Jesus will be with those who do His requirements. So we had evidence in the Bible. And I know as missionaries overseas, there's tons and tons of stories that we've heard through the past years and 3ABN stuff, how missionaries have gone over there and it was great opposition. The devil came in and tried to stop them in their prayers and healing and whatever, teaching, but they were spared. Very important. Okay. The next one I wrote out was, the church is to be put through trials. Why? So, is trials then keeping you close to God, or do you want to be not liking God and say, why is this happening to me? Yeah. Let's grab, let's see, let's do Revelation 3 real quick. Let's do Revelation 3. Very interesting read here. I kind of like this one. I got Judges 2, 11 through 20, but we'll do Revelation 3, 14 through 22. Okay, Revelation 3. Okay, 14 through 22, right to the end of the chapter there. All right. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Right. Who's a Laodiceans? Are we labeled as a Laodicean church today?
Yeah.
We've been told that, haven't we? So this is a letter to us. These things says, Amen, the faithful and true witness. Faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are a wretch, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Boy, that's quite an outlook to look upon a church condition, isn't it? That's pretty strong. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich. And see, rich, fine gold, rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed. What's a white garment represented in the Bible, especially in Revelation?
Righteousness,
his robe. It's his character upon you. You can't neglect this, especially this day and age. It's our present truth. That you may be clothed, that the same of your the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with the eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Wow, so if you knock and let Jesus in, wear that robe of righteousness, right? Put that in your heart. He's going to dine with you. He's going to be with you, okay? To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with him on my throne. Wow. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, we make it through this persecution in the church. Trials. Jesus is going to let us sit on his throne. He's going to stand up and he's going to say, Dan, I want you to sit on my throne with me because you were faithful to me. You loved me and you loved your fellow man. You sit with me up here because I love you, Dan. Or the rest of you. An example. That's an honor. Watching the Creator create, or watching the Creator love, wouldn't that be a great desire to have in your heart? To go through the trials, and this is why the church goes through the trials. So there's more text there, but I'm not going there to restrain time because I want to get to the meat of this study. Okay. Now we've gone through all the tools, and we've gone through that if we keep God's requirements, we've read it, the evidence is clear. You feel like your heart's really changed, and you say, "Now I'm never going to leave Jesus again." In this present day, what is the shaking? That's the question. Hebrews 12, 25. Hebrews 12, 25. Oops, I went too far here. Lord, help me get through these pages here. Take me a long time. Where am I? Was it Ephesians? No, Thessalonians. I guess I lost it out of my Bible here. I love Hebrews too. I'm just trying to find it. Does anyone have it? 12:25. Somebody read it real loud. Go verse 25:29. Yeah, go ahead and read it for me, Don. Pretty loud, please.
I'll just get up here and do it right here.
Okay, that'd be wonderful. I'm going to look up this out in 2 Thessalonians.
Okay.
I have that right here.
See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? End verse 29?
Yep.
Or 2 verse 29?
Wrap 2
verse 29. Verse 29, okay. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate that. So God's going to shake in you, isn't he? He's a consuming fire. His character is going to be in you or not. And that's what it's saying. He's going to shake the heavens. He's going to shake the earth by his voice, by his word. But what is the shaking? We don't know yet, do we? Clearly, we're about to find out. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to start verses 1 and 2. Okay, this gets maybe a little more direct here. I like this one. Thanks again, Don, for doing it for me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay? Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or trouble, neither by the Spirit or by the word or by the letter, as from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Then we're going to go 10 and 12. And with all unrighteousness, deception among you, those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay. It's like Daniel's friends there that made the laws, isn't it? Made these laws to persecute Daniel and stop him from this praying. God's character's got to be reproduced in you. Well, let's find out. You're going to give me a good 10 minutes here. This is a very interesting read. When I read it, it really hit me hard. I pray that the Holy Spirit will be in your minds and your hearts. It's very, very important. This is from early writings, the shaking. I saw some with strong faith and agonizing cries, pleading with God. Their countenances were pale and marked with deep anxiety, expressive of their internal struggle. Firmness and great earnestness was expressed in their countenance. Large drops of perspiration fell from their foreheads, and this perspiration is the wrestling with the Spirit of God in your life that you don't want to lose it. Now and then, their faces would light up with the marks of God's approbation. In other words, approval. His light, his glory. And again, the same solemn, earnest, anxious look would settle upon them. Evil angels crowded around them, pressing their darkness upon them to shut out Jesus from their view, that their eyes might be drawn to the darkness that surrounded them, and thus they be led to distrust God and murmur against him important words. When you go under that hard trial, don't murmur against God. Don't distrust him. Get to the bottom of it. Hang on to him. Cling to him. Their only safeguard was in keeping their eyes directed upward. Angels of God had charged over his people, and that his people, and as the poisonous atmosphere of evil angels would press around these anxious ones, the heavenly angels were continually waffling their wings over them to scatter the thick darkness. As the praying ones continued their earnest cries, at times a ray of light from Jesus came to them to encourage their hearts and lighten up their countenance. Some I saw did not participate in this work of agonizing and pleading. They seemed indifferent and careless. They were not resisting the darkness around them, and it shut them in like a thick cloud. The angels of God, and this is shameful, left these and went to the aid of the earnest praying ones. I saw angels of God hastening to assistance of all who were struggling with their power, all their power to resist the evil angels, trying to help themselves by calling upon God with perseverance. But his angels left those who made no effort to help themselves, and I lost sight of them. All right, here's your meaning, the shaking. I asked the meaning of the shaking. I had seen and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness, of the Laodicean church. This will have its effect upon the heart and the receiver, and will lead them to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it, and this is what will cause a shaking among God's people. I saw that the testimony of the true witness has not been half-heeded. The solemn testimony upon which the destiny of the church hangs has been lightly esteemed, if not entirely disregarded. God have mercy on our souls. Amen. This testimony must work deep repentance. I need that repentance. This man right here. All who truly receive it will obey it and be purified. The fine linen of Jesus, his robe of righteousness upon us. Said the angel, lest ye, soon I heard a voice like many musical instruments, all sounding in perfect strands, sweet and harmonious. It surpassed any music I ever heard, seeming to be full of mercy, compassion, and elevating joy. We talked about the tools of love. It thrilled through my soul, whole being. Said the angel, look ye, My attention was then turned to the company I had seen who were mightily shaken. It was shown those whom I had before seen weeping and praying and agonizing of spirit. The company of the guardian angel around them had been doubled. They were clothed with an armor from their head to their feet. They moved in exact order like a company of soldiers that marching together, that truth in our hearts. Their countenance expressed with severe conflict which they had endured, the agonizing struggle they had passed through, yet their features marked with severe eternal anguish now shone with the light and the glory of heaven. Hallelujah. They had obtained the victory, and it called forth from the deepest gratitude and holy sacred joy. Now I can stop here or I can finish this. Who wants me to keep going? You want me to finish this? As it gets more intense. Now remember, we just saw this personal relationship with Jesus, with his church, the Laodicean church. We're just seeing the conflict, and that's what we're in today. And what happens is, you think you got it. Jesus is going to turn the wick up even more. And you think you've understood it and that you're getting the victory, and all of a sudden Jesus is going to turn the wick up a little bit harder and harder and harder. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be mamby-pamby, kumbaya. It's going to be heartfelt, deep repentance. And let's carry on. The numbers of this company had lessened. So all those who were agonizing and struggling, they have obtained the victory and called forth from the deepest gratitude, holy, sacred joy. But something happens. The numbers of this company had lessened. Some have been shaken out and left by the way. The careless and indifferent who did not join with those who prized victory and salvation enough. Oh, I like it. It's good. I mean, but enough to perseveringly plead and agonize for it did not obtain it, and they were left behind in darkness. God forbid. And their places were immediately filled by others, taking hold of the truth and coming into the ranks. Evil angels still pressed around them, but could not have power over them. Amen. I heard those clothed with the armor speak forth the truth with great power. It had effect. Many had been bound, some wives or their husbands, and some children by their parents, the honest who had been prevented from hearing the truth, now eagerly lay hold upon it. All fear of their relatives was gone, and the truth alone was exalted to them. They had been hungering and thirsting for truth. It was dear and more precious than life. This must be this great multitude that comes in after God's church is being judged. I'm thinking that this is where the rubber is starting to meet the road, where this whole thing's poured out, because what I read next, you'll catch it. I asked what had made the great change. An angel answered, "It is the latter rain, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, the loud cry of the third angel." A little bit more to go here. Great power was with those chosen ones, said the angel. And it says, "Look ye!" exclamation point. My attention was turned to the wicked and unbelievers. They were still astir. Zeal and power with the people of God had aroused and enraged them. Confusion was on every side. I saw measures taken against the company who had the light and power of God. Darkness thickened around them. Yet they stood firm, approved of God, and trusting in Him. See how much intense that is? I saw them perplexed. Next, I heard them crying unto God earnestly, day and night. Their cries cease not. And Jesus turns that wick up a little tighter. Thy will, O God, be done. If it can glorify thy name, make a way of escape for thy people. That is our plea. That's our cry to God, to Jesus. Deliver us from the heathen around about us. They have appointed us unto death, but thine arm can bring salvation. Hallelujah. These are all the words which I can bear to mind, Miss Allen says. All seem to have a deep sense of their own unworthiness. The manifested entire submission to the will of God. Yet, like Jacob, everyone without an exception was earnestly pleading and wrestling for their deliverance. for the deliverance. Soon after they had commenced their earnest cry, the angels in sympathy desire to go to their deliverance. But the tall, commanding angel, and so Jesus is going to turn the wick up the last time. He's going to put the trial on the last time. But a tall, commanding angel suffered them not. He said, "The will of God is not yet fulfilled. They must drink of the cup. They must be baptized with baptism." Soon I heard the voice of God, which shook the heavens and the earth. There was a mighty earthquake. Buildings were shaken down on every side. Then I heard a triumphant shout of victory, loud, musical, and clear. I looked up, and the company, who were a short time before were in such distress and bondage, their captivity was turned. This is beautiful. This is so beautiful right here. A glorious light shone upon them. How beautiful they then looked. All the marks of care and weariness were gone, and health and beauty were seen in every countenance. Enemies of the heathen around them fell like dead men. They could not endure the light which shone upon the delivered holy ones. This light and glory remained upon them until Jesus was seen in the clouds, hallelujah, after of heaven. And the faithful tried company were changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye from glory to glory. And the graves were opened, and the saints come forth clothed with immortality, crying victory over death and the grave. Together with the living saints, they were caught up to meet the Lord in the air. While rich musical shouts of glory and victory were upon every mortal tongue. Quite a scene, isn't it? If anyone says that, well, we're going to sin right up until we see Jesus comes, this proves them wrong. Because salvation is worked out here. And if you don't make up your mind to that today, you'll be shaken out. That's kind of direct. It's very powerful words. But they apply to me almost more than you all. God bless you. And may God add a blessing to his word. May your love and your light shine upon us today. Especially those that can be here today, be with them. Heal them and make them right that are sick or lonely or just traveling. Be close to our church family. Take care of them, my Father in heaven, till we meet again next week, that we'll be safe and well, and that we have grown out of our sinful behavior, our sinful nature, and we give it all to you, that you will change us and give us that fine linen. In Jesus' name, amen.